Well, it looks like you're stuck with me again. What can I say? We all have good luck and we all have bad luck, and I guess this is your lucky day. So I'm not going to guarantee what I'm going to talk about this morning that's going to come across that you'll understand, but I think you'll understand what the text says, because as you know, for the past few weeks, Brother Dwayne's been going through 1 Corinthians. So I kind of want to go through and tell you what I've learned, what I've picked up from his teachings on 1 Corinthians. You may agree with the points, you may not agree with them, and that's fine. But there are 8 key points that I have singled out that he has covered in 1 Corinthians that applies to all of us in our everyday life. But before we get started, Judy is heavy into scrapbooking, and I do mean heavy. Well, this last week, she was going through a bunch of pictures and all, and she came across a little, I hate to say it's a poem, but it's a writing, and I wanted to share it with you this morning. I think Brother Stacy passed them out to you. God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the day, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. That struck home. I, you know, we were going through a lot of pictures from back when mom and dad were alive, and my grandmother and granddaddy and her side of the family and all of them. And God's undying love for us is what has carried, I think all of us have lost loved ones at some point in time. And it's God's undying love for us and his grace and his mercy that's carried us through that. So over the past couple of years, and some of the lessons that I've attempted to talk about, one of the topics was why we love our church, why we love the people in our church. And not too long ago, I talked about the ABCs, our attitudes, behavior, and consequences. How our actions affect our behavior, and how our behavior has consequences, both good and bad. But more importantly, some of those consequences are how some of our actions and our behaviors may affect others around us. Do they see Christ in us? So I want to share with you in short this morning, and it may be short. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I got a few notes here I want to cover. I want to cover some of the things that I picked up on and learned during Brother Dwayne's teachings in the book of 1 Corinthians. Our go-to text this morning is going to be in 1 Corinthians 8, verses 8 through 13. Have you ever played a game, any kind of a game, basketball, football, Scrabble, Monopoly, whatever, and it's fun, right? But even if you know all the rules, that don't mean you're going to win, unless you play good. God gives us all these rules to guide us, but the freedom to choose the direction we go is up to us. He's not going to force us to choose. It's our freedom to choose. Imagine you had a social gathering, whatever. They got a whole buffet lined out with a lot of food. Everything looks great. And somebody says, that meat was sacrificed to an idol. Are you going to eat it? What are you going to do? The Bible says love is more important than the food itself. We shouldn't do things, though, that might upset others or that might make them sin. So the moral of the lesson is God gave us the greatest rule, which is to love Him and love others. Even when the Bible doesn't exactly say what to do, we're to choose love. Think about how our choices each and every day affect others around us. Like choosing kind words or including others in our activities. Remember, God loves us and He wants us to show love too. So the question is, how can we show love today, in today's world? There is so much hate and animosity and bigotry and racism, you name it, and it is going on in this world. How can we love those people when we know they're sinning against God? But God says we're supposed to love them no matter what. Even our enemies. Love your enemy. Is that not quoted several times in the Bible? Love your enemy. That can be kind of hard to do, can't it? It is for me, I know. But God is always there to help us make loving choices. We need to pray each and every day, thanking God for His love. Praying that He'll help us to love others and that He'll show us how to make those choices that build each other up rather than tearing each other down. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 8 through 13 says, "But meat commandeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest any man this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make thy brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." Verses 8 through 9 talk about the personal freedom regarding food and that it's secondary to love, and it's secondary to make sure we don't create a stumbling block for the weak believers. Verses 10 through 12 talks about misusing knowledge that can cause a weaker brother to fall, which is ultimately a sin against Christ. Verse 13 is the star of it. It's a commitment to restricting one's own actions to avoid causing another to stumble. You remember my ABCs? I talked about attitudes affect our behaviors. Our behaviors have consequences, and those consequences can be good or bad. And it can be bad for us because it may only affect us personally, but it can be bad if our conduct, if our actions are witnessed by those around us that may not be believers. They may look at Elbert and say, "He goes to church every Sunday, but every Saturday night I see him out there at the bar." Probably not a good picture, is it? Remember, our actions have consequences. 1 Corinthians 8:13 means that Christians should give up their personal freedoms and rights if doing those things causes a fellow believer to sin or stumble in their faith. In this verse, the Apostle Paul declares that he would rather never eat meat again than to cause another Christian to fail. So here's some of the 8 lessons that I've picked up in 1 Corinthians. The 8th one will deal with next week's lesson that I'm sure Dwayne's going to bring, which is chapter 16. But I read through it, and I want to cover a point from chapter 16. But first of all, there should be no divisions in the church. That's the first thing I took away from it. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment, and that's found in 1 Corinthians 1:10. Paul appealed to the church at Corinth to be united, no divisions. He wanted them to see the wisdom and the greatness of Jesus' love and his work on the cross over the wisdom and the greatness of the preachers and teachers that they were following. Paul reminded them that God chose the weak, foolish, low, and despised of this world to preach the power of Christ crucified. So when we boast, may we only boast in the Lord. The second point is, God has given us principles to follow for marriage, divorce, and singleness. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. 1 Corinthians 7:17. Everyone is either single or married. While Paul was single and saw it as good, he considered both marriage and singleness a gift from God. Each of us should embrace the life that the Lord has assigned to us. No one is gifted for sexual immorality. We are either to live faithfully or to be celibate. The third point is, we must not be a stumbling block to the weak. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. 1 Corinthians 8:9. Idol worship was a huge part in the culture in Corinth at the time. Most of the new believers would have come out of this idolatry, so eating meat sold in the marketplace that had first been offered to idols became a big issue for the church. Many in the church most likely suffered for their choice to follow God, and so their conscience would not allow them to eat the meat offered to idols. It may have felt like a denial of Christ for them. So Paul reminded the church that love should trump their freedom to eat meat. Freedom in Christ is a delicate balance. While we're free to enjoy many things, we must consider if abstaining from certain things would be the more loving. The fourth thing I took away from some of his messages was the Lord's Supper is not to be taken irreverently. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. 1 Corinthians 11:29. The Lord's Supper was causing divisions in the Corinthian church. Paul explained that they were taking it irreverently and selfishly. That's a dangerous thing to do, even in today's time. He called on them to examine themselves before they took of the cup and the bread, or they would face discipline from the Lord. The fifth point was love is to be the goal of spiritual gifts. If one member suffers, all suffer together. 1 Corinthians 12:26. Every single believer has been given a gift from the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts are not given for self-glorification, but given for the glory to God and to build up the body of Christ. Love is the goal of spiritual gifts. Church is not a place we attend once a week, take a seat, and then leave. The church is meant to function as a body. If one part is hurting, we're all hurting. Spiritual gifts are very practical in nature. They're to be used to care for one another, just like we care for our little toe when we stump it, or our eye when it's hurting. This is why divisions and fighting in the church so displease the Lord. God wants us to have a loving heart towards each other. The sixth point, without love, our gifts are useless. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. While our spiritual gifts are wonderful, it's faith, hope, and love that we must all pursue. All of the New Testament speaks to the pursuit of these, but the greatest of these is love. Love trumps faith, hope, and our spiritual gifts. Without love, our gifts are useless. One day when we see Jesus and we will no longer need faith or hope, but we will experience his love for all eternity. The seventh point is Christ's resurrection removes the sting of death. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. Because death is swallowed up in victory and we have a hope of resurrection with Christ, we can stand firm. We can be immovable. We can work hard serving the Lord, knowing that all our labor is not in vain. There is a sure hope of eternal life with Jesus one day. The eighth point is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I believe that's one that Brother Dwayne's going to cover next week. But reading through it, I found this. We are to live a life of love. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all that you do be done in love. The Corinthian church needed clarity on many issues inside the church that were causing divisions. As Paul closes out his letter, he reminds them one last time to seek to do everything out of a heart of love for one another. That's the same message we need in the churches today, in every church. There would be so much less division and bickering and fighting in our churches if we would simply let all that we do be done in love. The goal is may we love each other more and more until that day that Christ returns. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Love is the most important rule. Even when the Bible doesn't give specific rules, we should choose what builds others up and show love for God and others. So if we're watching a movie or doing something at our house that we may think is appropriate, but we go to somebody else's house or their facility, and what we were doing at our house may not be in line with what they do, we should respect their values. Love for one another. Respect their wishes. show love one for another. God gave us the greatest rule, love him and love others, even when the Bible doesn't say exactly what to do. We should choose love. God loves us and he gives us his grace and mercy. He's given us the law. But more important to us, he's given his son. I don't know how much more love you could show. The blood of Jesus covers all sin. And because of that, we're not bound to a series of rules. It's important to know that we're free to make decisions on a lot of gray areas in our life that are not defined in Scripture. However, we should also consider how our actions and our choices will impact others around us. As God loves us, we love and care for those around us. In 1 Corinthians 8, verses 8 through 13, we learn the limits of freedom. Paul emphasizes that our freedom in Christ should not lead us to become a stumbling block for others. We learn it's about considering others. Paul urges us to prioritize the well-being and spiritual growth of our fellow believers over asserting our own rights. We also learn it's a sacrificial love. Paul exemplifies sacrificial love by expressing that he would give up eating meat if it caused his brother or sister to stumble in their faith. Actions, attitudes, behavior, consequences. So as we conclude the lesson, let's remember the selflessness is not just a one-time decision, but it's a lifelong journey of imitating Christ's love for us. We should always seek the opportunity to put others first, knowing that through selflessness, our faith grows stronger and we become more like Jesus. So we should go out and be like Jesus. Show love to everyone we meet, and remember, no matter how big a storm it may be, no matter how big a heartache it may be, God is always with us through all the trials, all the temptations. Let others see Jesus in you. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the love and kindness that you've given us, Lord. Just pray that you would help us as we go out each and every day, that others might see you through us, Lord. Help us to control our actions and our behaviors that may be exemplifying to others that we believe in you and that we show love one to another. We ask these things in our blessed and holy name. Amen.